Hello, grandkids. Welcome to the Stunt Granny audio for whatever the week is. Thanksgiving week. It's Thanksgiving week 2010. Yeah. Yeah, gobble, gobble.
Oh.
It's Eric.
What are you thankful for, Eric? What are you thankful for?
Son of a good God!
Excellent.
What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for, Dusty?
I'm thankful that I'm not Ricky Rude.
Yeah, that's awesome. It wouldn't be the same without the smoochy sound at the end of it.
What's that?
I waited just for that one extra half a second. I'm like, it's not going to be the same without the smoochy sound.
No, sure enough, but you have to pause a second, you know, before doing it. So.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. So, hey, because it's a holiday week, and, yeah, because I kind of suck and I'm always limited to time because I'm a chump.
Yep.
We're going to squeeze a few topics into a short audio today.
Yeah.
Including something that's very timely. We're going to talk about something that just happened last night on Monday Night Raw.
What a holy shit.
I know. Who the fuck do we think we are over here? The fucking Washington Post?
I don't know, man.
I don't know what that even means. But nonetheless, The Miz. The Miz won the WWE Championship last night on Monday Night Raw. Dusty. Oh, my God. This transpired. And, yeah, let's talk about this. The Miz, his slow climb from obscurity to shittiness to me, all the way up to the WWE Championship.
I mean, I've talked in the past about John Morrison going from terrible to good. But, I mean, Miz might have even been worse than Morrison when he first started. He was just fucking abysmal. He was Pepto-abysmal. But, I mean, it was ridiculously bad, but he kept working at it, you know, and that's to his credit, you know. You know, we debated before whether he's better than Morrison. Who cares about that at this point? He learned a lot working with Morrison and everyone else that he's worked with, you know.
Yes.
So he's a student of the game, you could say.
Yep.
Because no one was as bad as The Miz and as good as he is now, you know? No one has ever done that. So, very much to his credit. And the angle was well done. What's-his-fuck was getting beat the shit out of. He comes in out of the blue and declares the title match. Did you think that was well done? I did.
I thought it was well done. I thought it was logical. I think Miz being a heel, and as most heels have done when they've cashed in their Money in the Bank opportunity, they've done so when the champion has been most vulnerable.
Yep.
So, of course, that made sense. I think it was cool in that it came as a surprise. They did foreshadow it a little bit during the King of the Ring qualifying matches, which we'll talk about more in a bit, when Alex Riley took Miz's spot. If you weren't really in tune with the possibility of it happening, you know, it's just one of those things that, that's silly Miz. They'll do anything to get out of a match. But then they tied it all up with an incredible bow at the end of the night. I thought it was very smart. I thought that it was a great surprise. I thought it was Monday Night Raw hasn't been too darn bad in 2010, and it's for reasons like this. Sometimes they really sneak one in there, and they've done it in a They've done most things in a logical fashion. Maybe most isn't the right word. They've done enough things, notable things in a logical fashion where I don't want to vomit every time I watch Monday Night Raw.
Right. It doesn't make you violently angry like whatever that show is on Thursday. But
there's a show on Thursday?
There's lots of shows on Thursday.
Parks and Rec?
Letterman has a show on Thursday.
You're right.
They show Match Game episodes on Thursday, so I watch those. stuff on TV.
I thought it was well done. Let's really quick just to quantify this and even qualify it for everybody who might not be completely familiar. This is The Miz who hosted a Diva Search in his first year, maybe even.
Oh my God!
Of being on the WWE main roster. And he was so bad at remembering lines and acting and everything else that he wrote shit on the back of his hand.
Yes, he did.
And
including phone numbers that you should memorize if that's all you have to do all day is plug a phone number.
Yep. I don't know if he took criticism well. I don't know if most of it was constructive. Most of it probably came in the form of JBL. But yep. You're right. I mean, he absorbed everything every time, every tag match with Morrison. You know, they had a really good slew of guys to work with. Anything he did singles-wise, it was for the betterment of his career. And really, the most important thing is you can tell that he wants it. Like,
yeah.
He's not acting and going through the motions. And he's not
right.
Shelton Benjamin. Wow, that's really hard to say. Shelton Benjamin-ing his way through life, just, you know, resting on his laurels.
Mm-hmm.
He loves being a WWE wrestler. And so that actually leads me to my next question, though. So he's been at this for about 5 years. You can tell that he wants it. The question is, does he deserve it? Is this the right time? Is it too soon? Is it too late? What do you think?
That's really hard to answer because, I mean, they gave the title to Jack Swagger, you know? It's like, who are we comparing it to? Or are we just talking, like, on an equal level if things were done right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, if we're doing that, then yeah, it was right about time.
Or, in comparison to, I mean, just take anybody else. Who else had a slow climb in the WWF? Bret Hart.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, maybe it is an apples and oranges thing.
He really does parallel Bret Hart with the whole tag team thing and everything, huh?
Yeah, that's true. Bret, and in just a shortened amount of time, you know, a five-year career and really didn't. When did he start tagging with Morrison? 07, 08? I feel like it was 07.
Yeah.
And so, and this goes back to something that I had talked about, I don't know, it was about 6 months ago or so when he, or however long ago it was, the beginning of the year, I guess, around WrestleMania time, when he was co-tag team champion with Big Show, and he was also the U.S. champion. It's that sort of, that whole draped in gold thing. And I don't think you agreed with me, and I don't even think Jeremy agreed with me, but it's kind of that idea that I've always had where, back in the day, giving someone the Intercontinental title was a test to see if they could run with a championship belt.
Sure, sure.
You know, again, maybe not the best, I don't know, way to look at it, but again, here's, and let's draw that parallel between Miz and Bret Hart, a guy who is the tag team champion. As soon as he lost that for that X number of time, became Intercontinental champion, or whatever secondary title there was. Then won the world title, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
So the key question to me is how long is he going to keep the belt?
Yes, that's another very
turn right around and hand it back to Orton, you know?
Right.
And then it would be like, well,
Was it really meant to be?
About?
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. So what do we have between now and WrestleMania? Which is going to be everybody's benchmark. Will he hold it till WrestleMania? You know, that's what we said about, I don't know, everybody.
So we got four full months, four months and a week, I think.
Yep. And we've got TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Yeah.
Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
No Way Out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a 6 week stretch between No Way Out and WrestleMania.
Yeah, they time it so that WrestleMania has a big gap.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is good for a change.
Sure.
To play off of your question, what sort of challengers does Miz have between now and then? Because supposedly John Cena has been fired.
Right, yeah.
Randy Orton just lost the belt to him.
Well, that's the obvious first place they go. Right back to
him. Definitely. Yep.
You know, I mean, maybe Wade Barrett sticks his head back in.
Mm-hmm.
Wade Barrett, the job boy to the superstars.
Yeah, really. He is kind of turning into that. He's getting a hell of a lot of great experience, but I think my phone beeped while I said that. What I was trying to say was he's getting a lot of great experience.
He is. Almost Miz-like experience. He's working on almost every show every week, you know?
Yes.
That's very good.
Well, really, what benefited the Miz when he was teaming with Morrison and they were on all three shows some weeks, you know?
Well, and that's the
house show.
Yeah, oh yeah, the benefit of working with Morrison as co-tag team champions doing that, the benefit of working with Big Show doing the same thing, and yeah, I mean, here's the guy, and oh, I was going to not answer your question, but here's a guy who went from reading phone numbers off the back of his hand to very plainly being groomed for this kind of success.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's a non-answer to the question of how long will he hold the belt. Honestly, he's being turned into a main eventer by the powers that be. So even if this title reign doesn't last long, he's got a long-ass career of being a main eventer ahead of him.
Absolutely. I hope they really need to slow down on title changes, though.
Yes, me too.
If he loses the belt, I pray to God it's not to, like, Orton or Cena, you know?
Yes.
It's either to create a new superstar, you know, in the Bob Backlund, Iron Sheik Hogan thing.
Yes.
Or else he needs to hold it for a while.
Yes.
WrestleMania or longer. To me, those are the only two acceptable options.
Yes.
And if he turns around, like I said, and jobs it right back to Orton...
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is the point?
Yeah, what was the point? Exactly. I guess you could ask the same thing about Undertaker's first title reign when he beat Hogan and then lost it 6 days later.
Oh, sure. When did he lose the belt? It was like this Tuesday or something.
Yeah, it was on a Tuesday. Where was it?
It was in Texas. That's right.
Texas, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, this Tuesday in Texas, yeah.
Yeah. So we've talked about that before, that WWE is fond of giving people very short title reigns when they know that sometime in your future they're going to be a solid main eventer.
Right.
So you can.
The Undertaker's case, it took, what, 10 years to get back to the belt?
That was 91, and the next time he won the world title was WrestleMania 13 in March of 97.
Okay,
so it took
okay.
a little less than 6 years for him to get the championship again.
Interesting.
So, yeah, really. So yeah, I don't know. So let's go back to the question then. I'm sure he's going to have to wrestle Randy Orton sometime between now and WrestleMania. If Hunter comes back, is there a built-in match there? If Cena comes back, is he going to, you know, Cena seems preoccupied. Does he somehow get a championship match or do they keep him out of the title picture for a short amount of time?
Well, to answer that, we have to ask the question, what exactly are they planning with Cena? Like, I read on the message board some people were speculating that they do a Midnight Rider type thing with him.
Yeah. I think they kind of blew that out of the water on Monday, though, with him running out to the ring to interfere in the main event.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The Cena thing is kind of an audio for another time. I think that could go off in 10,000 different directions, too.
Yeah, but I mean, if he stays out, how long does he stay out? I mean,
is he
shooting a movie? In which case, there's a couple months right there.
Right. Does he stay out until Royal Rumble?
Right.
You know, and another question then too, is Miz WrestleMania main event worthy right now? I don't know. You could probably have asked that about a lot of guys over the years. You know.
Right.
I know Sid looks awesome, but is he really the guy that's going to draw a crowd and draw an audience by putting him on a poster against Undertaker? You know, is Miz going to draw a crowd and an audience on pay-per-view by putting him on a poster with John Cena?
You know, this might be a cop-out answer, but at this point, the name WWE sells itself.
Yes. You're right.
They're at a point where it really doesn't matter who's on top.
Yep.
I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but, you know, that's the point we're at right now. So it almost doesn't matter who's main eventing. Obviously, it can't be just anyone, but...
But I think you're exactly right. I mean, John Cena could wrestle anything short of a broom at this point. And
sure.
Because it's got a WWE stamp on it, then yeah, it'll sell.
Right.
Yep. They're going to sell out the Georgia Dome, I'm sure. That's probably not even really a question.
Right.
So, yeah, that's true, I guess. And here's something funny, too. When it really goes down in history, are we going to look at the results of old WrestleMania's past and say, like, think of this as a comparison. John Cena versus The Miz, WWE Championship, WrestleMania 27. Mm-hmm. Are we going to look at that and be like, yeah, okay, I remember that. That was good. Versus, I had this weird thought, what if he loses the belt in December and then goes on to the Royal Rumble and somehow wins? If he wins the Royal Rumble, are we going to look at the history, the grand history of the Royal Rumble, and say, why the fuck did Miz win the Royal Rumble?
Right.
I don't know. That might not be fair either. I remember when Batista won the Royal Rumble and John Cena didn't. I'm like, are you
right.
fucking serious? I have to look in the history books and see Batista's name as a Royal Rumble winner.
Right. Yeah, up to that point, it had been mostly people who deserved it.
Uh-huh.
The biggest shame in Royal Rumble history will be the double winner thing.
Yes. Yeah, no reason Lex Luger should have been associated with winning a Royal Rumble.
What a debacle, man.
They should have seen through the whole concept of a second Hulk Hogan and just gone the smaller, non-steroided, popular guy route.
I believe there could be another Hogan, but it certainly wasn't Lex.
Fuck no.
I like Lex, but he's a heel.
I like Lex for what he was.
He's an upper mid-card heel.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked him for what he was not during that time, because
yeah.
that's not what he is. He's not
right.
a pandering baby face who's counted on to carry the entire load.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the fact that he's fucking basically charismaless.
Yes. Yeah. And it really shows when he tries to be a baby face.
Yep, it does.
It really, really shows.
Yep.
That might have been the worst push in wrestling history.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, your friend and mine, Mark Madden, wrote a bunch of columns about how great the whole thing was.
Really?
You can't erase history, Mark. But
I've heard Mark Madden has a really high IQ, too.
Yeah, he sure does.
Jesus Christ. Oh.
If he had an IQ as much as he weighs, well, never mind.
No. I thought you were just going to leave it at, if he had an IQ, I bet it would be small. Like his penis. No.
Anyway.
So, yeah, I don't know what other angle are there to cover this Miz win at. I guess just, you know, for the most part, I think he deserves it. I think he's earned it. No matter how short or long of a reign it is, he's got a lot more reigns in his future.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Very happy to see someone who loves pro wrestling at the top of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that a shot at anybody?
What's that?
Is that a shot at somebody? That could
the top
be.
Of the game. He's on top of the game. Speaking of which, when that asshole comes back, I can't wait to see how he bigfoots everybody.
Yeah, Miz will lose in like 5 seconds, and that'll be
Good
the last
Lord.
We ever hear from him.
Yeah, seriously. Fuck. Yeah, I don't know. Overall, I think this is a really good move. It plays into the whole youth movement of WWE, which
yeah.
I think is legit. I really hope I don't lose this phone call because I just turned my
Uh-oh.
My car back on. And
Uh-oh.
If I do, I'll call you right back. Yeah, I don't know. And actually, do you have any other thoughts on the Miz and the championship?
Well, it's exciting.
Yeah.
I haven't been this excited in a long time. I'm even more excited by this than I was with Punk. I didn't think like they handled the Punk thing properly. When they did that, but this I feel like they had. So,
I can
very good.
That. Speaking of the youth movement, let's talk about CM Punk in a little bit. But speaking of the youth movement in WWE, they
mm-hmm.
are returned. They're bringing the King of the Ring back. First time since
2000.
Yes, it's definitely a stunt granny favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Great concept. I almost backed into a car right there. And that's right, I'm driving. This is going on record, so hopefully I didn't actually back into that car. I wouldn't even know if I did. Let's see. Stunt Granny favorite, tournament style wrestling. Always
yes.
Favorite of Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've watched WrestleMania 4 way too many times just because it's a tournament.
Yeah, really. And I've watched King of the Ring 93 way too many times because it was the first of many to air on pay-per-view
yep.
in that season.
I like the way they're going about it. They are having a three-hour Monday Night Raw next week, pretty much devoted to King of the Ring, but, you know, they'll do all the other shenanigans.
Sure.
Four qualifying matches this last Monday and four coming up on SmackDown. So far, the four guys that have qualified for Monday Night Raw are Sheamus.
Yep.
John Morrison, the guy who upset Sheamus at Survivor Series in a bit of a surprise to me. Maybe we can talk about that. Ezekiel Jackson, who beat the aforementioned Alex Riley, who subbed for The Miz in a smooth move. And Daniel Bryan, the United States champion. What do you think of the field of four so far?
Well, that's a pretty good field. These are guys who, you know, potentially could use that sort of push. I like it.
Yeah, King of the Ring has always been a mid-card. It's something to push a mid-carder up into the next echelon.
Yeah, it's normally like a coming-out party kind of thing. Oh, now we're going to push this guy.
So, yeah, I'm excited for the four guys that are getting an opportunity here so far. I'll be darned if I remember everybody that's involved in the SmackDown side, but I know some of the qualifying matches include Big Show and Alberto Del Rio.
Yep.
I'm pretty I have this weird feeling that Chris Masters is involved, but I hope I'm wrong.
You're probably not.
God.
He's probably going to lose one of the matches. I think Del Rio is going to win the whole tournament.
I think that would be the best move. I really, really do. I think that he's got future star tattooed all over him.
You heard it here first, folks.
That's right, folks. Especially when compared to everybody else.
Sure.
There we go. Get out of my way. I'm on Interstate 235 right now, and people are being jerks. and really the King of the Ring has always been, it seems to have always benefited the heel most. Wouldn't you agree with that sentiment?
Mostly. If done right, they can have a babyface win, but normally it's a heel type of thing.
Yeah. It's just something for a heel to boast about. I'm the king. Like, that sounds weird coming from a babyface. You never really heard anything about King of the Hitmen, Bret Hart, or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, King of Hearts, this, and who the hell else won? King Ass.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, stuff like that. So, that being said, Daniel Bryan probably isn't going to win. King of Zeke doesn't really have the ring to it that I thought it did. Yeah, now that I say it out loud. Sheamus is on a losing streak.
Yeah, he is.
Morrison, I think, doesn't really need it so much.
No. He's probably just filler.
Yeah. And they're making something out of his push right now that I don't think necessitates a King of the Ring victory. And really, if you look at the...
I could maybe see Daniel Bryan win. Maybe.
So he
but I could also not see him win.
Yeah, so he can come down to the ring, Flight of the Valkyries or whatever, with a crown on his head and a cape.
Yeah, he could do some comedy with it, you know. He's a pretty fucking funny guy, you know.
He really is. Like Dave Patel said once, he said, "You ever think your dad was a real superhero? Then it turns out he was a dude who wore a cape."
Yeah.
God, I wish my phone wouldn't have beeped in the middle of that joke. For those of you who didn't hear that, go buy the Dave Patel. Thanks for the memory, Petey.
Nice.
Isn't
it pretty funny
that
somebody took the time to invent a horn for a car? If you think about it, that's a pretty funny invention.
Can you hear? Oh, I better not honk. There's somebody right next to me. I was going to see if you could hear my horn honk. I'm driving a Kia Sorento, and it's got this pussy little meep thing to it.
Wooga!
Yeah, I couldn't convince anything to get out of my way.
Because Eric is driving a 1929 Model A, apparently.
That's right, yeah.
In my fantasy scenario. Anyway.
Am I wearing a top hat and a monocle?
You sure are.
I say, I'm off to the social.
Oh, my God. There were dusty cobwebs coming out of your mouth when you said that.
Excuse me. Yeah, I like the idea of Alberto Del Rio. I can't, you know, you could run down the list of heels on SmackDown. And I know they've been out qualifying matches. I don't care what they are.
I don't give a fuck at this point, yeah.
Because you're not really, you're probably not going to get a King Cody Rhodes. I see no purpose for a King Drew McIntyre. He's probably going to get let go soon anyway.
God, I hope so.
Yeah. King.
And I did a rant. I did a rant on Drew McIntyre to my dog the other day, by the way. Because no one else will listen to me about wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, you know, every time you do something bad in public and it's made public, and it makes the company look bad because they have to say WWE wrestler Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Like, you should just get fired, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, you can bring him back, obviously, if you really want to, but you got to send the message that that sort of thing isn't acceptable.
Yeah, and you got to watch your ass and keep your head on a swivel, keep your nose clean. That happens in every other walk of life. In politics, you know, the smallest bad thing happens to a politician or somebody in, like, a seat, like an appointed seat. What's the first thing they do? Step down.
Yep.
White-collar jobs, executives, something bad comes out. Somebody's kid fucking sniffed a shit and piss in a jar and captured the gas in a black balloon and snorted it. What do? Step down.
Yep.
Tiffany beats up Drew McIntyre. What does Drew McIntyre do? Fucking keep jobbing on SmackDown.
Right.
Yeah, something doesn't shake out there quite right.
I mean, maybe you make an exception for people you think are really exceptional, but...
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre just puts me in a fucking coma. So.
Yeah. Whereas somebody like Alberto Del Rio is a real graham cracker, Drew McIntyre is very saltine.
Mm.
Unsalted. Why the fuck would you even call it a saltine if it doesn't have salt?
What's the origin of saltine? I'm on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's made, I mean, primarily it's probably made out of flour anyway. Flourine. Flourine. Cracker.
Flourine.
And then they, yeah, I don't know. And then they don't put salt on it and still call it a saltine. Or a bunch of assholes. Let's see. So, yeah, King of the Ring. I'm kind of excited about it. So check out next week, Monday Night Raw. I like theme Raws also. Speaking of theme Raws, we teased this last time. I think we're going to tease it again this time. We are going to do an audio about the proposed old school Monday Nitro edition of Monday Night Raw.
Yes, you need to listen to every episode. Every episode of our audio is important because we might talk about it.
In fact, you might even say every episode is more important than the last episode. Let's see. Anything else really worth talking about? You mentioned one thing in particular that led me into another thing in particular, but I bet we could probably compress them both into just a couple of minutes talk.
Well, before we do that, baking process. Saltines have been compared to hardtack, a simple unleavened cracker or biscuit made from flour, water, and salt. However, unlike hardtack, saltines actually do include yeast as one of their ingredients. Soda crackers are a leavened bread that is allowed to rise for 20 to 30 hours. After the rise, alkaline soda is added to neutralize the excessive acidity produced by the action of the yeast. The dough is allowed to rest for 3 to 4 more hours to relax the gluten before being rolled into layers and then baked.
Okay. You know what else?
They should be called yeastines then.
Yeastines. There you go. I know a few chicks in my hometown that ought to be called yeasty.
Oh.
I'll tell you something else yeast is good for. Beer.
Okay.
So maybe it's not such a good idea when you get drunk to eat crackers to absorb it. Let's spend an audio someday thinking of something else to eat to, quote unquote, absorb the alcohol. That's already in your bloodstream. Why don't you go get a fucking blood transfusion then?
That'll absorb it.
Yeah. You have a particular disdain for a WWE commentator.
Oh, my God.
Talk about that for a minute.
I really do, and his name is Matt Stryker, and I hope he dies.
Oh,
my God, he ruined the finish.
Talk about that.
Okay. Let me set the table here. Survivor Series match. John Cena's the special guest referee, and we're talking about Randy Orton and Wade Barrett for the World Heavyweight Championship or whatever the fuck they call that belt.
Yeah.
Now, the stipulation is Cena doesn't help Barrett win the title, he's gone, right?
Yeah.
Well, so he ends up, and by the way, this is shitty booking. This is just terrible booking, but Cena just counts the three with Orton winning, whatever, right?
Right.
So, Matt Stryker, Cena's free! He's finally free!
Oh, Lord.
No, he's not.
Wow.
And the key thing to note, he stepped over the other announcers because he wanted to make sure that he was the one delivering the key line after the match.
Yeah, very nice.
If you're going to do that, you have to get it fucking right.
Yeah. There are iconic calls. We've talked about these in professional wrestling history.
Yes.
If Steve Austin had pinned Shawn Michaels, mm-hmm. and JR started yelling, Shawn Michaels! Shawn Michaels! Shawn Michaels!
Right.
That would be an egregious error on the level of Cena's free, Cena's free. Great God Almighty, Cena's free.
God Almighty, he's free at last.
And it's even
Hamburger,
worse.
Here I am!
It's even worse given the fact that Matt Stryker puts off the appearance of being this professional wrestling student of the game who knows, like, he references Kobashi. And he
yeah, but he gets everything wrong, though. Like, all these references, he's the last foreign champion since Yokozuna. And that wasn't true, because there's been Canadians as champion. Just everything he says is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a harder and harder time defending the guy. I think I've defended him to you before, but yeah.
You have, and you're wrong.
I'm finding out how wrong I really am.
Yeah.
I really am. On the other hand, we've got a guy like CM Punk who's now sitting on the Monday Night Raw broadcast booth.
I love him. I want to have
it.
His baby.
I have a double-edged thought on this.
Uh-huh.
His humor is spot on. It's exactly what we're all thinking. His
mm-hmm.
analysis is great because he's a modern-day wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I find him very monotone for WWE programming. He doesn't have the dynamics that most announcers in the last 20 years have had.
Hmm.
If he can find a way to bring a little more dynamism to his excellent commentary, he will be the diamond in the rough that they've needed for 10 years since Jerry Lawler went stale. Nah, I'm kidding. That was some bandwagon jumping right there. No. CM Punk is awesome. He can get better somehow or other. There's still
sure.
ways for him to get better, and I hope that he does.
Well, he's improved in WWE as a worker.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was always a good worker, but now he's been able to, you know, work their style as well as his style. You find a nice combination. So if anybody can come around, it's him.
Oh, yeah.
He's slowly turning into, if he has a long career at the same pace, he's going to be one of the best ever.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So this is quite the difference between Matt Stryker these days and CM Punk these days.
Absolutely.
I would kill to see a broadcast booth for tables, ladders, and chairs featuring Michael Cole, Jerry the King Lawler, and CM Punk in favor of Matt Stryker. How funny would that be?
Yeah, Stryker can stand backstage and hold the microphone for people.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's all the topics we're able to squeeze in. Sadly, I'm about to run inside at Jimmy John's and pick up supper. I won.
Oh my God.
For those of you who don't follow me on Facebook, I posted a picture of the two $10 gift cards I recently won from Jimmy John's for submitting some hilarious rhymes about the brand and the company.
They were giving out
$100 gift cards to the best rhymes, but they never announced that they were also giving away $10 gift cards for, like, the super level. And I submitted two of them, and I went to my mailbox one day, and there were two $10 gift cards for Jimmy John's.
Hey, that sounds great to me.
There you go, Pally. So I'm about to go run and grab some supper.
Pally?
Thanks for listening to Stunt Granny Audio, as always. Once again, we're going to tease the Old School Nitro Edition coming up pretty soon. Among other fun topics, I'm sure we'll talk about the future for John Cena. I don't know. I just hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving. Actually, I could give a fuck less. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I had to get a little stunt granny on. A little yeasty. I'm going to call it a night. So there you go. Peace and turkey grease, my friend.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson, for Thanksgiving turkeys, and for Pal E. Dangerously, I'm Dusty Gibbons. This has been Stunt Granny Audio Edition number whatever the fuck. Who gives a shit? We'll try to do better next time. Yeast!